Today on the AV Podcast, we discuss the tragic events of the murder of Nipsey Hussle this past week. It's a shameful and extremely sad situation to see this happen to somebody who was an advocate for bettering his community in all aspects. Just to see a person like that get taken away senselessly is beyond tragic and ridiculous. I really still can't believe that's what happened to this brother, man. I mean, wow. With that said, I bring on South Sharaf family member Sean Adonis, as well as DJ Keo, as we share all of our thoughts on this tragedy. Now, before we start, I do have to let you know that South Sharaf is available wherever you listen to your podcasts. Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts are where you can specifically hear any show from South Sharaf. And you can go to SouthSharaf.com to catch my entire catalog of podcast shows. Once again, that's SouthSharaf.com. It's the AV Podcast with Cal C on South Sharaf Radio. All right, guys. So, as we were discussing offline, it's just we had a hell of a week. Nipsey Hussle has passed away. But I kind of wanted, before we even get into the nitty-gritty of all this, like what are your thoughts on just this whole situation? Like, what are your thoughts on what happened with Nipsey Hussle? I'll start with you, Keo.
When I first heard about it, I was on Instagram and I was like, because it's right around April Fool's. Mm-hmm. So I thought, oh, it's probably a joke or somebody's doing something stupid. And then I just kept seeing posts and posts and posts about it. So it's kind of mind blowing because especially, knowing that this guy was trying to turn stuff around. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a huge loss for a community when you have somebody that, they're looking at their gang affiliation and that kind of stuff, and they're saying, you know what, I need to start a business, I need to start doing things in my community, I need to start networking, getting people working together, and then boom, he's gone. So, like, that was the thing that hit me, like, just that it's a huge loss.
Mm. And what about you, Sean?
I mean, me, it was, I found it was really, really, it was devastating. And devastating just because, I don't know, like when you hear, generally speaking, that a rapper dies, it's not like it was out of the realm of possibility in your subconscious. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because you're like, all right, well, this guy does blank and, he carries himself like this and moves like this, so you kind of see it coming, like, you know what I mean?
But the energy is fostering that energy, right?
And I wasn't the biggest Nipsey Hussle fan and wasn't paying attention to his daily activities and what have you, but I mean, all signs point to the fact that this dude was not really at all about any of that nonsense. Like, he was the opposite, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was literally about uplifting his community, about using his experiences to uplift his community. So it's like, when you see, like, and you hear a dude die like that, and then he was a family man, you know what I mean? He was, from what I understand, newly secretly married, and it's like a lot of times, like, I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older, more mature, we all have families. It's like, back in the day when this stuff happened, like, oh shit, Biggie died, oh shit, Pac died, and this rapper died, and it's kind of like, you know they're human, but in your mind, you kind of liken it to characters, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
When you're younger, when you're watching a show, when you're watching a show, when you're like, yo, kill him, come on, kill him, man, you throw that word around, like taking a life is just part of a transaction, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I think a combination of me maturing, what this guy seemed to have stood for, what he seemed to have meant to everybody throughout our community. You know what I mean? Like, he seemed to be genuinely loved and respected, by all, and what he was doing. And it's like, it just, like, the combination of all that culminated to make this really devastating, man, like, really sobering.
Yeah, I feel like, well, it's funny because the first time I heard of it was the wife. Like, she basically sent me a text, like, some rapper name. Mm-hmm. She's like, she didn't really know what Nipsey Hussle was, but she's like, I got a message, Nipsey Hussle died. I'm like, man, come on. But in this day and age, My
you never know.
Not even just that. But the thing I revert to immediately is Twitter. Once I go on Twitter and I see the name trending, I'm like, oh shit, okay, that it's it. Okay, there's some truth to this, or something happened, you know. So that's the first thing I did. I was just like, man, come on, man, are you sure? And then I'm like, as I thought about it, I'm like, I just grabbed my phone and just went on Twitter. And as soon as I started seeing like the news clippings, I'm just like, you got to be kidding me right now. Like I've kind of felt the same way, like you, Sean, where I'm not gonna sit here and be like, yo, I'm a big Nipsey Hussle fan. Don't get me wrong, I like his stuff. I love Victory Lap, but I wasn't like, you know, I can't sit there and recite all the songs or name you songs of all the things that he's done like that way. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it takes me back too, because as you're saying, to touch on what you're saying, Sean, like when I was younger, right? When like I can remember when like Tupac died. I can remember obviously remember when Biggie died. And it was kind of like a surreal feeling, like you were completely devastated, but for different reasons, because you were such a fan of their music. We followed, you know, everything they were doing at that time, because, you know, we're being that we're younger and stuff, you know, like young adulthood and all everything else. Like you're so invested in what these guys do with their careers, and especially musically, you're all invested in East Coast, West Coast beef, yada yada yada. So like for me, like, you know, when Biggie died, I remember I was devastated, because this guy was like, not only was he my favorite rapper, but I'm looking at it from the talent perspective, where I'm like, every time Biggie used to put out a record, I used to be like, yo, I couldn't wait to hear it, because I just wanted to see what he would say lyrically that would just knock my socks off. You know what I mean?
And then I'm like.
And then you get to the point where you're just like, I'm not going to hear a Biggie song anymore. I'm not going to hear him on a remix anymore. Like, are you serious? Like as a fan, I struggled with that, man, because that really bothered me. Like, that was my guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, you're never going to hear it again. That's it. You know, and it's so finite and so final, and so it was so senseless. You know what I mean? And I'm looking at it from, like, I look at it with Nipsey Hussle in a different way, because, like I said, again, I wasn't like I wasn't like a huge follower of his music, but at the same time, I'm like, this one bothered me just because it had everything to do with how he chose to use his platform. You know what I mean? Like, like he did all the things that you want somebody in his position to do. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
he struggled his way out from the hood. He made it as a rapper. I mean, you know how hard that trajectory is to get to the top. You know, and then like most people, he didn't go back. He didn't go, you know, like, buy a bunch of jewelry, you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't like, you know, like throwing ones in the air and doing all that nonsense. Like, sorry, he invested in the people, he invested in the community, you know what I mean? He was buying up real estate, you know, he was setting up, like, there's something called, he set up something called Destination Crenshaw, where it was like an open air museum for all the young black artists in that area to you know, to show off their artwork and everything else. He was trying to bring, like, the STEM program, you know, try to connect it with Silicon Valley. Like, there was so, and it's funny, the sad thing is too, like, even he died on the Sunday. So the next day he was scheduled to meet with the LAPD to talk about how to change, you know, like gun violence and gang violence in the area with Roc Nation.
Yeah, like, I heard about that too. Like, yeah, I saw that too.
You know, so you're looking at all of that and you're like, this guy did everything that he was supposed to do. Like, if a mother lost her child to gun violence in the area, this guy was paying for the funeral costs. Mm-hmm. He was dealing with rival gangs trying to connect people. So I'm like, after all that, I'm like, he gets gunned down that way and in his hood, in front of a store, in front of his daughter? Like, that's what he deserved after all that? Like, there's something inherently wrong with that picture.
Hold on. His daughter was there?
Yeah.
Yeah. He took a picture with her. It's the second picture.
Okay, I remember. I saw that picture, but I didn't know that she was still. She didn't see it happen.
I don't know. I hope not.
I have no idea.
I hope not.
I saw the video clip you sent me, and that was it. That's the only, because I was like, I don't want to look at it. Like, it's just gonna be. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can watch it in a movie, but when I know it's real, like, it bothers me in a different way.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was like, okay, I just want to know what the thing was like, because I knew it was far away angle or whatever.
Right, right.
It was just, I saw those two pictures, the one with her together with him, and he's, like, sitting down next to a car. And next one, he's, like, you can see him laying on the ground. And I was like, oh, I'm done, man. I can't. Like, I'm just out.
Yeah. They're pretty much the same. You look at that whole thing, and it's just, like, that's he deserved to one day, you know, be able to walk his daughter down the aisle. You know what I mean? After what he's done, and it's like, you know, like that's it. Like that's how you get taken out. Like that's the life. You know what I mean? That's the way your life ends. You don't deserve that, man. You know what I mean? So I think that inherently just, like, you know, like I said, getting older now, that bothers me. Like it really bothers me, this whole situation, just looking at that, because I'm like, yo, the guy did everything right. He did everything that you would want somebody to do in his position, and it still wasn't enough.
But the thing is, though, like, his death wasn't, like, it was something leading, like, you know, something like Pac. I wouldn't say, quote-unquote, like, Pac's version, but, you know, like, stuff was going on throughout the day, and he had beefs with different people, and it was leading to somewhere dark.
Right.
Where this guy, he was leading to somewhere positive.
Exactly.
Based on where his life was at that moment. I think this is the thing that it hits people in a different ways, because they don't look at him as the guy who would get something like that would happen to him. They look at him the guy that would avoid something like that happening to him.
Because if you think about it, right? And again, I don't know the depths of this guy or the details surrounding this guy's day-to-day activity in life, but what, on the surface, how is he different than any other rapper that we know? Meek still, you know, commiserates with people from the hood. Like Drake does. Everybody does. So this could literally have been anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, it's so senseless when you think about, like, I don't know if you guys have, why, actually I do know, you know, the rumors behind why this happened, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it being some dude that, you know, was trying to be around him, who was apparently a snitch, and Nipsey, like, yo, I don't want you around me, like, you know, don't stay around me or whatever in front of my store, like, you know, beat a guy out of here or something like that. You know, like, and that alone is what resulted in an execution of this guy. And like the grainy video that I saw, and remember, Cal, when I said this in my text, I'm like, yo, I said, did he kick him afterward?
Yeah, he's checking to see if he's still alive.
You know, like he went, he shot him, came back, shot him again, and when he was walking away, it looked like he kicked him.
He did.
Yo, like the amount of contempt and hate in your heart. It's not even like, you know, okay, got you shoot the guy and then run off. You shoot him, go back and finish him off, and then make sure to kick him. Like, yo, the evil, you know, that's coursing through this guy's veins that did this, man. Like, he's a monster. He's a demon. He's a demon, literally, man.
It's funny because I was watching a clip with Noriega, and Noriega's talking about the concept of, like, you know, like the whole keeping it real mantra. And he was like, I don't know if you guys seen it, but he was like, you know,
yeah, I saw that. About
it, but he was like, yo, like keeping it real, like maybe we're wrong in promoting that, you know, because he's like, this guy did everything. Like, he, you know, he was keeping it real. He kept it real with the hood. He kept it real. He tried to build, and, you know, and he still ends up dead. So I guess the question I want to ask you, like, is keeping it real wrong?
I think there's different levels to keeping it real. Like, there's keeping it real of, well, I'm going to go to school and I'm going to take care of my family and I'm going to do all this stuff.
Right.
There's that keeping it real. And then there's this macho thing of, well, I have to brag about something stupid and I got to show everyone I got guns. That's the two different, you know what I'm saying? Like, those are two different worlds.
There's different.
We merged them together.
Right, right.
Yo, you know what I think, man? It's a very, there's no easy answer to that. Because when you think about it, keeping it real at times, depending on the motivation, could be an honorable thing, right? Mm-hmm. It could be an honorable thing, but oftentimes I find that it's kind of a way just to what's what I'm looking for, kind of promote stagnation. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, so that's like, you know, in what other culture do they say, hey, if you're successful and if you make enough money to get out of a certain circumstance, you got to keep it real and stay around that circumstance? It doesn't even make any sense at all.
Right. It's true. It's true.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But it's like we kind of, it's like that crab in the barrel mentality. Like, hey, even if you succeed, you still got to stay around here. So it's a mix of crab in a barrel mentality to, hey, let me show off and flaunt the fact that I made it. You know what I mean? And it's also another component of it. I'm not going to act like there's only two negative sides of it. There's another component that, hey, like, and what seemed to be Nipsey's situation is, I made it out of there, and I want to, you know, be that motivation to show the people there that you can make it out of there, and I want to change my community. But the problem is, for everybody like him, there are people like the other people, you know what I mean, that don't give a shit about the fact that you're trying to change the community. They see you around, and they still have contempt in their heart, and they have jealousy in their heart, and you're surrounding yourselves with people that don't have the same goals as you, don't have the same amount of things to lose as you do, who aren't going anywhere, who don't lose anything by taking your life or compromising your life for situations. So it's like, it's a real, real complex, like keeping it real as a concept is dumb. It's really dumb as a concept, but giving back to the hood, on the other hand, that's a noble concept, but it's like Noriega said in his video, or he alluded to, you just can't really do it like, yo, I'm just going to be out there and chill, because there's just too many wicked people out there, wicked, jealous people out there, man.
We have the problem in our community is that people don't, when you're starting to work or thrive, people don't want to work with you. If you have two people moving together with the same goal, somebody's going to try and kneecap the other guy, and it just always happens. I don't know why. It's just something specific to our community, because there's other races and other groups of people that, oh, this guy's building a business. Well, I sell this. Let me work together with this guy. Or you know what I'm saying? Like, there's just something that's going on, like some kind of psyche thing from, I don't go back to slavery, but like, because we've had moments where we worked together. Like, in 90s hip hop, people were all working together. You know, even Black Wall Street, 1930s, whatever, people were working together.
Working together.
And then we regressed. It's all a success and a regression, and we're in the regression phase of, you know, nobody wants to help each other, nobody wants to see, you know, what can we do, whatever. It's always just that, well, somebody has something and I want it, so, you know, F that guy or whatever. Like, that, this is where we're at. It doesn't matter what it is, though. It could be school, work, whatever. Like, I just see it everywhere. It's frustrating, man. I don't know.
It's that, I don't know, it's something, like you said, is a go back to slavery, is a go back to, you know, what is the inception of that, you know, mentality. But yeah, I agree with you, man, 100%. It's really sad, man. It's really, like, it's deep-rooted.
Yeah.
And I mean, you see, and I'm not even taking it to this extent, but I'll look at it like just even a simple case of, you know what, man, I'm looking for a job, or you know what, I'm doing okay, and you know what? Maybe if I call Keo, maybe he can help me with something here. Maybe if he gives me the number to this person, maybe he can help me go forward. And I'm not saying you will do this, Keo, because I know you're not like that. But you might be that person that might be like, all right, well, yeah, Calvin called me. All right, what's this dude want? Doesn't want to hear what he wants. It's like, all right, well, you know what? I can't really hook you up, but yo, let me see. Let me call you back. And then you just never call the person back, because, like, deep down, it's like you don't want to see Calvin or whoever else take that next level up. You know what I mean? What if this phone call can make Calvin or Sean or somebody else take that next level up? You know, and it's like I inherently have a weird problem with that, which is weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is weird. Like, for me, like, going back to the whole keeping it real concept, like, I understand what the meaning of it should be, but to touch on what you guys are saying, like, in some cases, I think change is probably the biggest thing in order to keep it real, because the keep it real concept should always be fluid. Like, as long as it's working towards some sort of progression, you know, I think that's to me what the true essence of keeping it real is about. Because, you know, as you evolve in life, you know, I'm not even talking just money, just talking maturity, just, you know, what you're trying to do in life as you get older, like, keeping it real is going to mean different things. You know what I mean? And it's got to be real and relative to what you're about in your life at that point in time. So it's got to be fluid. But, like, if it's fluid and it's positive, keeping it real is a beautiful thing. You know, giving back to whether it's the community, the hood, whatever it is, like, that's a beautiful thing. So once it's, you know, it's accepted in a positive manner, like, that's a beautiful thing. But going back to this situation, up until Sunday, this was still a beautiful thing. one conversation with one quote-unquote jackass changes the whole trajectory of everything. Because you look at it now, like, this one guy was doing above and beyond everything he could do to reverse the economy, to just to change concept, like, the change the mind concept in the community. And now you took that mm-hmm. guy out. So now this whole energy now that this guy was trying to push towards, now who's going to start? Who has the capital, the motivation, the mentality to now go and restart that stagnated energy? Not of this.
You got to think about it, though. In a community like that, whenever something like that happens, you put it back like 20, 50, you know, 30 years before the next person's going to step up. That entire area is screwed now because of this. You know, and you got to think about, like, all of America and even Canada for some extent. There's every time something like this happens, you just push everybody backwards, step back down the ladder again to start over from scratch.
Yeah. No, it's just that, man. And it's a really, really, it's a really sad thing, man. And like, to touch on what Keo said, like, it's like, as a people, man, like, Black people have so much already that we're already fighting against, man. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. we are unequivocally the most hated people on the planet by everybody. That's like what I always say is that something that every race has in common is that they don't like Black people. Like, that's every race has that in common. You know what I mean? And the fact that, you know, we already have that against us, that we fight every day, and then internally there's so much infighting. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we're each other's worst enemy quite often. You know what I mean? And it's like, if we're going to ever start to rise as a people, man, like, I don't even want to say something, you know, stupid and generic, like, we've got to change. Because I don't even know what the answer is. That's super obvious. Obviously, things have to change. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. how will they change? Are they going to change, you know? Because it's like, it's not to say as a whole Black people are like this, you know what I mean?
Of
because, you know, we're not all like that. But it's just like, it seems like that segment of the Black race, it's just has such a profound effect, man, on
the on problem is whole, that man. We're glorifying this 3% of the community. You look at the amount of Black men that have gone to college instead of jail. It's higher for college now.
Oh, exactly. Course, yeah,
we're successful. Black people are successful in doing it, but we're still glorifying the knuckleheads. You know, like Cardi B, she's doing advertisements now and stuff like that. She's drugging people, man. Like, she's a stripper. Why is a stripper on the person that's the most prominent person for American politics right now? You have like, politicians talking about Cardi B. Why Cardi B?
Because they love like, that, man.
But of all the people to like, yo, I got to uplift somebody from the quote-unquote Black community, I'm gonna choose the stripper. I'm going to choose the gangbanger. That's ridiculous, man. Because it's not like there's not other people out there. Like, Chance the Rapper exists. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's other people out there. J. Cole. Like, there's other people.
Man, brother, I don't know if you want to bring me down this rabbit hole. Like, because honestly speaking, I think you might have bugged my house. Because I say this all the time. I was even telling my son the same thing. We were talking about the same thing yesterday about this whole Nipsey Hussle thing. And I was like, you know, and I say this all the time. It's really, really sad. Because it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want to be discriminated against, and we don't want these negative stereotypes to be cast over all of us. Because like you said, they only really apply to a small segment of the Black population. But at the same time, that's all we glorify. The popular music, it's all about that. All that stuff is glorified. That's all that you see any rapper, not any rapper, but, you know, a lot of the rappers out there, that's essentially their persona. That's what's pushed. Like you said, Keo, Cardi B, being like, you know, yeah, she's super, she has a great personality, but being like, you know, you know, with not that much depth to her, you know, as far as anything that she's actually saying, you know, they love that. oh, girl, and all that nonsense. They love that stuff. That's what they want to see. They don't want to see, you know, black people or people of color say anything substantial. You know what I mean? Like, and that's what we're guilty in that too. Not necessarily us on the phone, but not even us. Even me, I'm guilty of that too. I'm guilty of listening to music about dudes murdering dudes, and you know, if I hear a diss track, I'm like, oh man, he dissed him. He told him he's gonna murder his whole family. You hear this? Like, that stuff is it's not cool, man. But yet we love it.
Yeah. No, like you. I'm past the point where I'm saying, well, it's the quote-unquote man that's doing this to us. I'm past that. There's too many black billionaires in America. There's too many black millionaires in Canada and all over the world. We have too much resources. There's too many opportunities available for us. We're past the man doing it to us now. We got to take responsibility.
Oh man! Honestly, this wormhole is getting deeper and deeper. Because
that's where I'm at right now.
I agree with you 100%. You even bring it to this, right? Let's bring it to this. There are other cultures, and they will shop at stores owned by people of their culture, right?
Yeah,
because they want to uplift their own communities. You know what I mean? Black people generally don't do this. If there's a person of another race who has a store and they're selling what black people are selling for a bit cheaper, black people will walk past the black-owned store and go to that other store. They don't support each other. They don't care about supporting. When I say they, I'm generalizing, but of course there are some that do. But generally speaking, it's not something that's incredibly common, as it is with other races. We don't do that to each other. And it's like, when you say, what's the reason? You know, what's the reason? Is it part of it, like we said, the fact that, you know, the underlying competition / crab in the barrel feeling? Is it the fact that we just don't want to uplift each other? Who knows exactly, or who could pinpoint the root cause? But it's really sad, because like you said, there's black billionaires, there's black businessmen, you know? And at this point in time, like, we all know that we're not really aligning ourselves in a way that is going to bring us the progress we need. Like, we still call each other niggers, man. Mm-hmm. We still call each other niggers. You know what I mean?
It's laugh it off or whatever.
Jeez, man. and we justify it. But, like... Yeah. Just for, we took the word. We took the power out of the word. No, we didn't. It's still the same freaking word, man. That's why I do not use that word. I don't use that word. I tell my son, don't use that word, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I know now I'm going on a tangent here, but it's like, it's like the problem, it's so systemic, and it's like, I'm just going on a tangent because I don't even really know the cause. I'm just going on example after example after example of different contributors to this problem, man.
I think it's there's many reasons as to why. I think some of it is like it's a destructive path. But on top of that, like, it kind of goes hand in hand with, like, and I'm just speaking to America right now. Like, it goes hand in hand with the gun culture in America as well. Like, you know, you're looking at this stuff. You know, but like the gun laws won't change, for example, like even with all the school shootings and the public shootings and airports and malls and movie theaters and, you know, or in this situation on Sunday, like there's nothing like going into law to kind of change, you know, like what's happening here. Like, it's funny, like New York, for example, was like the Wild West at one point, like when we were coming up. And now New York has kind of changed because the gun laws out there is serious. It's like, you know, your first offense you do in 3 years, you know, so it's a serious, so it's kind of changed the way the city is now in some ways. So it's like, you know, you're looking at like, or something like this now, and it's like, you still know there's such a long way to go. I know, just to wrap up, because we're going to wrap up just now, but like the reason why, like I said, this whole thing kind of bothers me in a sense is because, you know, you're looking at this generation going through it. 10 years ago, they went through it. When we was coming up, you know, we was going through it. Like, I remember first hearing about shootings and all that kind of stuff. I remember first hearing about this stuff in like self-destruction. Remember the self-destruction song?
Yeah.
Like that's the first time I was like a little kid, and I'm like, wow, people are getting shot. Really? This is an epidemic. Like, you know, and this was like,
Scott LaRock was the first rapper to get killed. Yeah, right. Like 1985.
Right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right. So this is, I mean, this has been going on for, I mean, that was like 30-something years ago. And like,
yeah, that's a long time.
A long time to be still going through this. You know, like, how long was that posse cut? Like, that was 30 years ago. Like, self-destruction was like 29, 30 years ago. And it's like you're still seeing it now where, like, a prominent rapper doing positive is still meeting the same fate as Scott LaRock. Or, you know, like.
The thing though is, I feel like there's been improvements and then there's just regression. I don't.
Yeah.
And I equate that to the culture. I think most devs said something about, you know, people complaining about rap, but rap is a reflection of our culture. And, right. You know, like, the current rappers now are, they're all drugged out. They're talking about Xanax and all this stupidness. Mm-hmm. And, well, you know, in the 90s, people were talking about, you know, going to Africa and, you know, learn your history and all this other stuff, and went to shiny suits and we did all this other stuff. So, you know, like it was, the culture is moving. It's moving. It's not just stagnant somewhere. The point is to keep it moving. And that's the thing. I don't know. But like, I can attest for the fact that the culture was moving. It was progressive.
Basically, like you're saying, or I guess to wrap it up, I mean, you know, it's, I think that this is so sad. This highlights everything that we said. Like, everything that we said is highlighted by this event, man. And it's like, you know, like I saw a video of Lauren London running into the emergency room or running to the hospital.
I don't need to see that.
You know, and saying, he's my husband, you know. And it's like, yo, and then like just recently she posted on Instagram, you know, like, I'm lost. I don't want to, you know, misquote her, but essentially, you know, that she's lost. She lost her best friend and this and that, and her father and her lover and all this. And it's like showing pictures of him. And it's like, you look at that and you're like, yo, this fucking guy is not here anymore, man.
Yeah.
And why? She has, like, she's right now, she's alone. She had to, like, 2 days ago, they were together. They were happy. Now he's gone. And why? Mm-hmm. Because he told a guy to beat it?
Nah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. I would say to close it up, the thing that we need to do, and we're all guilty of it, is that we're waiting until somebody passes before we start uplifting them. Because, like, Nipsey's been doing this stuff for a while, but nobody's really checking for him. They're checking
That's true.
For We should have been, like, bragging about Nipsey's bought this in the hood. Nipsey's doing this for these people. That's the thing we should be talking about. That should have been all over social media years ago. Why are we waiting until today, you know what I'm saying, before we actually say, oh, Nipsey was doing this for the hood. This is why we care about him.
Like, yo, that is an amazing point, because I didn't even know he was doing all those things.
I didn't know half of this stuff.
Yeah. And the sad thing is, too, it's like, you know, listen, man, in a perfect world, you know, everybody would have more than enough to survive. You know, everybody would have enough love. They'd have enough nurturing, enough education, enough money to dream about their next steps, you know, in the future. But, you know, I know it's not, that's not how life is set up, unfortunately. Like, I know life's not going to be that way. You know, but the energy to me that, like, I keep seeing it, you know, and Keo, I've had you on some podcasts before. It's like, we talk about the change and like how the structure is changing, and you're seeing change in some of those genres that we love, whether it's music, whether it's sports, whether it's business, whether it's tech, whether it's entertainment, where, you know, the model in other sections of life, like it hasn't changed. Like, certain cycles hasn't changed, you know, like, what are we going to do to look at change as a good thing and just be better? Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to, you know, try to sound like an after school special right now, but like,
I know.
But I'm like at this stage of my life, it's like, this part is really, it's getting old, man. It's getting old for me, you know? And to me, I need to see the change in that. Like I said before, like, I want to see Nipsey Hussle walk his daughter down the aisle 20 something years from now after helping to raise the community into something powerful and not having to restart this now, this energy due to his death, you know, to restart this whole process all over again.
Yeah.
Like I understand, you know, like, and you know, we're living in the social media age, but it's like, there's only so much times I'm tired of seeing prayers up for the next person.
I'm tired of seeing
the prayer emoji hands. I'm all for getting something done so that we can just like, okay, let's just finish this off for good and let's move forward. You know, I think that's like the biggest thing for me. It just, the whole thing just doesn't sit well with me, man. Like this was just very senseless. And unfortunately, you know, what's going to continue, you know, and I'm not saying just due to this situation, but just other situations in other cities, you know what I mean?
And
it's like, what are we going to do to stop it? Like, I don't have the answer either, but what do we have to do? Like, what is it after we have to do so we stop seeing this? Like, we don't see, you know, the Jonas Brothers or Justin Bieber losing their life at 25. You're going to see Justin Bieber perform until he's 50. You know, like you want to see, why can't Meek Mill and Nipsey Hussle live that long to do that too?
Yo, say Rolling Stones is still on tour right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like this, like these guys' lives shouldn't be a threat. You know what I mean? Like it shouldn't be like a threat at this stage. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like I don't know.
There's no positive way to end it, man. Because like this is a really really sad situation, brothers and. You know, like, I have to reiterate, like, at the end of the day, this brother is not here anymore, man. And for what, man? For what, man? You know? It's just like, I don't know, man. A good brother, a good, positive brother that was doing things to change all of the negative aspects of our community that we discussed today. And then the dude murdered him. A dude who was in that community he was trying to help took his life for nothing, man.
Yeah, essentially.
It's really sad, man.
Thank you for listening to the AV podcast today. And I want to send my many thanks to DJ Keo and Sean Adonis for coming on the AV to share their thoughts on the events this past week regarding Nipsey Hussle. I don't have the answers nor the solution to stopping gun violence, but like I said earlier, I really do wish for these stories like this to cease. You're seeing the model in so many things change when it comes to the foundation of things change when it comes to like technology and even the way we do business now, you know, and it's exciting, you know, for where that's going. But I really would like for this type of cycle that we've been discussing to be changed as well. We need more love out there so we can move more positively and powerfully as one and just do even greater things. And to not be afraid to give back to the community and to not be afraid to give your time to those in need. We really don't need to see outcomes like Nipsey's anymore, man. I mean, we just don't need to see his life cut down. You don't need to see his family suffer. You don't need to see the shooter and his family suffer because, let's face it, he devastated not only his own family, but he essentially ended his own life with his egregious lack of judgment. I mean, I'm just really tired of seeing stories like this. You know, I'm just really tired of seeing this. I'm tired. I'm exhausted by it. We just need this to stop, you know, and just move with a better energy just all the way around. There's really no way to transition out of this, but I just would like to thank you once again for listening and supporting the podcast. You can continue to listen to all the podcasts from South Shore Ave on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify, as well as Google Podcasts. And to listen to my entire catalog of podcast shows, make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAve.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAve.com. For DJ Keo and Sean Adonis, this is Cal C. And thank you so much for listening to the AV podcast today. It's been a pleasure. Until the next time, folks. Peace, peace, peace.